Our guest on today's show is Lieutenant Colonel Jason Fettig of the President's Own, the United States Marine Band. They'll be coming to West Virginia for two performances, the first of which is in Morgantown, Tuesday, September 2nd, 7:30 at the Clay Concert Theater. The second is in Charleston on Wednesday, September 3rd, 7:30 at the Municipal Auditorium. Their first stop of the tour is in McHenry, Maryland on September 1st, which is right outside of West Virginia. Lieutenant Colonel Jason Fettig recently became the conductor of the U.S. Marine Band. So recent, in fact, he's been their director for less than 2 months. But that doesn't diminish the passion and enthusiasm Fettig brings to the podium. He tells me they changed directors during
concert on 12 July, which is the day after our birthday, which is July 11th, the day that the band was founded. And it was officiated by the Commandant of the Marine Corps, and we passed the Sousa baton. This is a tradition that's gone on since Sousa was our director from 1880 to 1892. When he retired, his musicians gave him this beautiful baton with a Marine Eagle Globe and Anchor on the top as a parting gift, a token of their esteem. And we have that baton in our archives, and so it's become a tradition at every Marine Band change of command for the outgoing director to pass that baton to the incoming director. So I gratefully accepted that responsibility on 12 July.
Wow. So what was your first concert experience like as director of the Marine Band?
Well, it was interesting. My first concert experience actually was during that event, since it was a joint change of command and concert. It was open to the public, and so we made it we tried to make it about the band as much as it was about the changing of command. And so the first half of the program was conducted by Colonel Colburn, and then we had a ceremony on the beginning of the second half where we did the change of command. I made some brief remarks, and I left the stage, and then he actually retired on stage in front of everyone. And then I came back out as the 28th director and conducted a short part of the program to finish up. So that was technically my first concert experience as director of the band, and I'll have to tell you that that's probably the first thing I remember of that entire evening.
Right, yeah.
It was such a surreal experience to be assuming command of this incredible institution that by the time I got to doing what I'm used to doing, which is conducting the band, I was able to enjoy it and really take in the moment.
You have concerts how often now?
Well, we have different seasons in the band. We're in an unusual situation right now where we're playing concerts on a weekly basis for local residents here in Washington, D.C., and tourists as they come through and visitors to Washington. And those are still going on through the end of August. We're also in the middle of our most busy ceremonial season, so we're continuing to support the famous parades that take place at Marine Barracks, Washington, 8th and I. We perform every Friday night for those parades while we're giving concerts during the week as well as all the other ceremonies we do around the Washington, D.C. area, supporting full honors funerals at Arlington National Cemetery and things of that nature. And at the same time, we are preparing to leave on tour. So we've just nearly completed 2 weeks of rehearsals in preparation for this 30-day tour that we're about to embark upon.
Wow, that sounds like a great tour. What different places are you going?
Well, the Department of Defense has split up the country into 5 regions, and so every 5 years we hit a different area of the country, and we try to saturate as much of the country as we possibly can. You know, this is a wonderful tradition of touring for the Marine Band. We've been touring since John Philip Sousa was our director. He initiated these tours in 1891 for the last 2 years of his directorship. Back then, he actually had to request permission directly from the president to leave Washington because the band wasn't big enough to support anything other than the concerts. And the president granted him permission, and he took the band on 2 tours, and it started this tradition, which we've continued to this day, of bringing this ensemble, this organization, out to people across the country. And so we really make it a point to try to get into every type of community we can, every nook and cranny of the United States. You know, we play in venues from high school gymnasiums in very small towns to grand concert halls in very large cities. And both of them are equally meaningful to us. And in this particular tour, we are heading right through the heartland of America. So we're going to start here in Washington. We're going to come through West Virginia, of course, move on to Kentucky, Missouri, Kansas, up through Colorado, Idaho, and eventually end up in Oregon. We're going to finish in Washington State, finishing in Seattle, and then flying back home from there.
That's Lieutenant Colonel Jason Fettig of the President's Own, the United States Marine Band. Let's take a break and listen to a piece commissioned by the United States Marine Band. This is American composer John Williams's For the President's Own. That was John Williams's For the President's Own, performed by the United States Marine Band. They'll be making two stops in West Virginia, in Charleston and Morgantown, the first week of September. I'm currently talking with their conductor, Lieutenant Colonel Jason Fettig.
We're very fortunate to have you come through West Virginia, just speaking on behalf of other West Virginians. Let me ask you this. You're a music advisor to the White House, correct? What does that mean?
Well, you know, we perform at the White House anywhere from 200 to 300 times a year, depending on the year. And that could be anything from, a solo harp or solo pianist for a small luncheon to full orchestra or full band for big events on the South Lawn or inside the Executive Mansion itself. And so since we provide most of the music for events for the White House, that means if there are any musical questions that come up or any protocol questions, I'm typically a resource for the White House to come to. And we try to choose our music carefully, of course, to fit every event that we support. So there's a tradition of the Marine Band being the President's Own that actually goes back all the way to 1801, when the band first played at the White House on New Year's Day in 1801 at the request of John Adams. And we've maintained that relationship with the presidency ever since.
Wow. So have you met the past two presidents? You've been around the Marine Band for a while, or maybe
three? I had last three, actually.
Wow.
I got into the band when President Clinton was in office, and so I certainly had an opportunity to meet him on occasion, and then both of President Bush's terms and, of course, now President Obama. And all three presidents that I've experienced since I've been in the band have been wonderful advocates for the band, very appreciative of our history and traditions and the relationship we have with the White House. All three of them were music fans in their own way and really made the time to come over and talk to the musicians and let them know how much they appreciate what we are able to add to the events that happen inside the White House.
Right. So you all get to play for like the inauguration, correct? And what's that experience like for you and the band?
The inauguration is incredible. Again, beating the history drum, we've played for every inauguration since Thomas Jefferson. And so there is a wonderful tradition and history of our participation in the inauguration. And, you know, it's of course musically satisfying to be able to support such an important ceremony that we have. But it also is incredible to essentially have a front row seat. You know, if you look at pictures of inaugurations, the band is sitting right below the presidential dais there. So we, for the entire ceremony, whether we're playing or not, we're there to be able to take in, you know, the meaning of the moment and the grandeur of the moment. And it certainly is an incredible sight to be able to look out from essentially the president's perspective out onto the mall and to see people gathered as far as the eye can see to enjoy this great tradition we have in our country.
That sounds like an excellent experience. Wow. Have you all, actually, I know you all have been to this area before, correct? West Virginia?
We have. You know, you are our neighbors, and we are able to get into West Virginia to play concerts on a fairly regular basis, probably not as much as we would like, which is why it's so great that we're able to come here for these two concerts on tour. But we certainly have played, I believe, in Morgantown before and in Charleston, and so these will be repeat performances.
Yeah, again, we're very fortunate to have you all. So I'm looking at this program. You have some great pieces for wind ensemble by some world-famous composers. Was there anything behind the programming of any of these pieces?
Well, the goal when we go out on tour is to try to make sure that there's a little bit of something for everybody. You know, you can imagine we have a wide range of audiences across the country. We have students, we have veterans, we have people who are professional musicians who come to hear the band. And we want to be sure that everyone can get something out of that concert experience and that the entire concert has a really entertaining quality to it, that people can leave feeling like they've had, you know, an experience with the Marine Band. And so when I put together programs, I'm keeping that in mind. I want to make sure that there's great variety, also that we represent a little bit of everything that the Marine Band does. We are, of course, an historic and traditional ensemble. We play a lot of older music, a lot of traditional music. But we're also a living professional concert band, symphonic band, and so we want to make sure we also play the music of our time, especially American music. We have a great tradition of American music in this country that spans several centuries, and we want to be sure that we touch upon all of those aspects of our national heritage. And so the programs reflect that. We have original pieces for bands, some of which were written during the golden heyday of concert bands, 40s and 50s. We've got transcriptions of both famous orchestral pieces that people would recognize and some pieces that perhaps people aren't as familiar with, like William Walton's Portsmouth Point Overture, which we're performing in Charleston in a brand new transcription that was done by our own staff transcriber. And then we also try to put in, include original pieces for band that are from our time, more contemporary pieces that are really wonderful additions to the repertoire and things that people may not have heard and that we can share for the first time with them.
Right. It sounds like you really span the gamut of not only American music, but just wind band literature as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Are you all big fans of Granger out there in the U.S. Marine Band?
We are huge fans of Granger, as I think every concert band aficionado would be. We have recorded entire CDs of Granger's music, and as you might imagine, we often play Granger's music. There are two pieces that I've programmed on the three different programs that we're taking out on the road this year. One of them is Molly on the Shore, which is a wonderful little Irish reel that Granger wrote for concert band. It just cooks along for 4 minutes, and it's very virtuosic. And then one of his most famous concert band pieces, Colonial Song, which is a beautiful tribute to the people of Australia and their character, and it's kind of a musical portrait of their character. And these two pieces are among my favorites, although I love all of Granger's music, and we very frequently perform it.
Let's take a listen to Percy Granger's Molly on the Shore, performed by the United States Marine Band. Thank you. Percy Grainger's Molly on the Shore, performed by the President's Own, the United States Marine Band. They'll be making two stops in West Virginia, in Charleston and Morgantown, the first week of September. I'm currently talking with their conductor, Lieutenant Colonel Jason Fettig. Let's get into some of the preparation in for these concerts. What sort of regiment do you all have? For instance, how much rehearsal time in a given week?
Well, we, as I said a little bit earlier, we are taking three completely different programs out on the road. So it's three full concerts that we will rotate. So if somebody were to come to, let's say, two concert programs in two adjacent communities, they would hear two completely different programs. And we typically rehearse for about two full weeks prior to leaving. So we started rehearsal a week from this past Monday, and we'll rehearse for about 3 hours a day, typically one rehearsal per program at a time, and we'll just continue on for the 2 weeks for about 10 rehearsals until we've got this polished up and it's ready to go out on the road.
Right. Aside from this tour, do you have any other special concerts that you all put on?
We do. I mean, when we're in the fall, we are focused on tour, of course. That's what we do every fall for 30 days. But life doesn't stop here in Washington. We are just large enough as an organization that we can staff a small concert band here back at home. And so that band continues to support funerals, continues to support White House commitments. And also, we have an extensive education program that we run in the fall as well. So we send chamber groups out to the schools to work with students and to present these wonderfully organized packages of entertainment and education. And so while that's all going on simultaneously with the band that's out on the road performing concerts in these communities.
Right. So I've got one more question for you, and it could be a tough one. But what's been one of your best memories in the Marine Band? I know there have been a lot, I'm sure.
There have been incredible memories, and they run the gamut in the wide variety of experiences that I've had, both as a player and as a conductor. I mean, some of my most fond musical memories as a player actually have happened while we've been on our concert tours. Being able to get out there, you know, and on tour, every concert is a special event, it feels like, because a lot of the folks that we get to play for, they don't have a chance to hear the Marine Band very often, if ever before. And a lot of them don't have a chance to meet Marines. And so we're really creating a unique event, and it really does feel like that for the musicians as well. Even when we play pieces that we play all the time, like the Stars and Stripes Forever, every single performance feels like a fresh performance because it's a new audience, and they're so appreciative of having the Marine Band in their communities. As a conductor, I think my most memorable event actually happened at the White House. I was conducting our chamber orchestra, which is a small group that we have that primarily plays inside the house for major events. And it was an event where Harper Lee, the author, was being honored with a Medal of Freedom by the president. And so we happened to have in our library music from the film To Kill a Mockingbird, the film version of her famous book, of course. And so I put it in the folder, not knowing if we'd have a chance to perform this while she was around. And we got through the whole event, and I didn't see her at all. She was in a wheelchair, and she had made the rounds in the house, but I didn't have a chance to touch base with her. And it was almost finished, and I decided to go ahead and play this music just because we had it. We had practiced it, and I wanted to make sure we had a chance to perform it. And we got about five notes into the opening theme from To Kill a Mockingbird, and Harper Lee comes wheeling out of the state dining room at about 100 miles an hour with her entire family in tow, came right up to next to the podium and sat there while we performed this 10-minute suite of music from this film that she had been such an important part of. And she sat there with tears streaming down her face, clearly having a really special moment with this music. And we finished, and she got up out of her wheelchair. She pulled me down. She gave me a kiss on the cheek. She simply said thank you and then left. And it was just a reminder of just how powerful music can be. She had come to this event to be honored, and that was wonderful just to be in the White House, but we were able to provide a special moment for her with music as well.
Wow, that's incredible. Lieutenant Colonel Jason Fettig of the President's Own United States Marine Band, thank you so much for coming on our show for today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lieutenant Colonel Jason Fettig of the President's Own, the United States Marine Band. They'll be coming to West Virginia for two performances, the first of which is in Morgantown, Tuesday, September 2nd, 7:30 at the Clay Concert Theater. The second is in Charleston on Wednesday, September 3rd, 7:30 at the Municipal Auditorium. Their first stop of the tour, though, is in McHenry, Maryland on September 1st, which is right outside of West Virginia. All tickets are free and are distributed by the local sponsor. To find out more information, go to marineband.marines.mil.